Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Patterns play an important part in our lives, whether we recognize their presence or not. Generally speaking, unless one is involved in particular activities such as making garments or quilting or perhaps certain kinds of manufacturing, we may rarely use this word. The idea of a pattern simply does not enter our minds. Nevertheless, patterns are deeply embedded in the fabric of daily living. For example, when police detectives are investigating a series of crimes, one of the things they look for is patterns. Were the crimes committed on the same day of the week or at the same time of day? Can a particular method of operation be discerned, or is there some element in the crime that is always the same? These patterns, if identified, may help the police identify the perpetrator or anticipate his next crime. In a similar way, each of us may exhibit certain patterns of behavior in our daily activities. We may wake up at a particular time each day or follow the same steps in the same order as we prepare for work or school. We may take the exact same route to and from work and make the same stops at the same locations along the way. All of these things, and many more, are patterns that characterize us, and they are important to us for a variety of reasons. Patterns as a biblical principle are even more important to us, although there are some, perhaps many, who deny the very existence of such a principle. For a few moments today, we will examine the pattern principle from the Scriptures, and we will apply it to the practice of our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to begin by defining the term pattern. According to Webster's New World Dictionary, pattern is a person or thing so ideal as to be worthy of imitation or copying. It is a model, guide, plan, etc., used in making things. A pattern is something representing a class or type, an example or a sample. And pattern is an arrangement of form, disposition of parts or elements, design or decoration. And finally, a pattern is definite direction, tendency, or characteristics as behavior patterns. The term pattern is also applied to the full-scale model used in making a sand mold for casting metal, and also to the distribution or grouping of bullets fired at a target. Now, we're familiar with each of these definitions of the word pattern, and we are comfortable with their use. We may speak of an influential person as being a role model for others. This fits the first definition of pattern that we discussed. A company that manufactures clothing or seat covers for cars uses a pattern so that every item that comes off their assembly line meets the same specifications. That's definition number two. The Golden Gate Bridge is representative of an excellent and durable design for suspension bridges. That fits definition number three. The repeating design on a piece of fabric is definition number four. And the repetitive actions of an individual fills the fifth definition of this term. And by the way, for all the football fans, we used to speak of a wide receiver running a pattern. They tend to call them routes now, but as an arrangement of form or disposition of parts and elements, definition number four, it is a pattern that the wide receiver runs. Now, each of these definitions has important implications in our lives. We depend upon patterns being followed in all aspects of society, and we recognize the chaos that would exist if patterns were not followed in worldly affairs. This being the case, how much more important is the pattern principle in spiritual matters? Now, the principle of following a pattern is clearly taught in the Old Testament. It arises when God called Moses up to Mount Sinai to give him the law. From the beginning of Exodus chapter 25 through the end of Exodus 30, God gave Moses detailed instructions on how to make every element that was to be included in tabernacle worship. Twice in chapter 25, first in verse 9 and then in verse 40, God commanded Moses to make everything relating to the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern that he gave him on the mountain. Now, in this case, the pattern that God gave Moses covered every detail of each item that was to be made, the kind of wood for each wooden article, the exact kind of fabric or skins to be used for the clothing of the priests, the curtains within the tabernacle and marking the courtyard, and the curtains that became the outer structure and covering of the sanctuary, the kinds of metal to be used to cover certain items or from which certain items were to be made. All of these details were part of the pattern for the tabernacle that God gave to Moses. In addition to this, the Lord God specified the exact design to be woven into each fabric or incorporated into each of the furnishings of the tabernacle. He even specified the layout of the tabernacle grounds, including which direction the tabernacle should face. God's pattern for the tabernacle was precise in every detail and exhaustive. He left no room for alteration or innovation on the part of Moses and the people. At the end of Exodus chapter 39, when all the work on the tabernacle had been done, verse 43 says, "And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them." Now, generally, when we speak about the pattern principle in the Old Testament, this is about as far as we go. We point out that God gave Moses a pattern for building the tabernacle, and Moses followed that pattern. But the pattern principle goes far beyond this aspect of Old Testament practice. God was not done with giving his pattern to his people. In the book of Leviticus, God gave detailed instructions of how the people of Israel were to worship him at the tabernacle. Included in these instructions were the specific elements of each sacrifice or offering they were to make to him, the timing of each sacrifice, offering, or feast day, and the precise manner in which each sacrifice or offering was to be made. All of these things constituted the pattern of worship under the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. The importance of following God's pattern under the law of Moses is illustrated by the sin of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, 'It is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored.' So Aaron, therefore, kept silent." Now, in this case, God's pattern required that only fire from a particular source was to be used to offer incense to him. Nadab and Abihu violated the pattern principle by using what the scripture calls strange fire in worship to the Lord. Now, this fire was strange because it was fire which God had not commanded them to use. Therefore, he executed his wrath on them and did not accept their worship. An important aspect of this incident is that Nadab and Abihu were punished for doing something God had not commanded them to do, rather than being punished for doing something he had forbidden them to do. And this is a part of the pattern principle that many people ignore. When God tells his people what they are to do, this excludes everything else. Now, when we come to the New Testament, many suggest that there is no such thing as a pattern principle in its pages. This is patently false, of course, for the simple reason that the message of the New Testament is the word of the same God who established the pattern principle in the Old Testament. In John chapter 12, verses 48 through 50, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative. The Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak, I speak just as the Father has told me. Since Jesus spoke only what the Father commanded him to speak, his word is also the Father's word. The same is true of the Holy Spirit, about whom Jesus said that he also does not speak on his own initiative, John chapter 16 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us that God has spoken in these last days by means of his Son. And Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 declares that we cannot escape if we neglect what was first spoken by the Lord. Now, many will agree that the New Testament is God's word, but does the pattern principle still apply? The answer is a resounding yes. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his apostles, here's what he said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus said that his disciples must observe or obey all that he commanded, he was affirming the pattern principle. This is no different than God telling Moses to build everything in the tabernacle exactly as he had commanded him to do. This truth was affirmed by Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, Paul said, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, he said that said all things, especially in the context of worship, must be done properly and in an orderly manner. This is definitely the pattern principle. Now, in practical application, the pattern principle means that we do exactly what the New Testament requires of us. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul told the Corinthians to be imitators of him, just as he was of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter said that Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Therefore, if we want to know the pattern that will please God, we must search the New Testament scriptures to see what Jesus and his apostles did and taught. This is the pattern that we must follow today. In two of the most important aspects of our lives, the pattern principle reveals how we are saved and how we are to worship God. Those who were the first to be saved and added to the Lord's church believed that Jesus was the Son of God and were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. On the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection, 3,000 souls were added to the church in this manner. Throughout the book of Acts, all who were saved in the same way. This is the New Testament pattern for salvation. No one was saved who did not follow this pattern. And friends, no one today will be saved who does not also follow this pattern. With regard to worship, the New Testament describes it as a very simple thing. There was a weekly observance of the Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. There was preaching and teaching and prayer, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. There was a collection of funds to do the Lord's work, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. And there was singing and making melody with a heart to God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. This is the pattern of New Testament worship. Those who do not follow this pattern worship in vain, as Jesus said of the Jews in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. When the people of Israel had built the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern God had given them, Moses blessed them. When we follow the pattern that God has given us today to build our spiritual tabernacle, he will bless us, he will save us, and he will dwell with us here as he prepares a place for us to live with him forever in heaven. The question then is, are you following God's pattern? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.